welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Shaka Hislop, Stevie Nicol and myself, Kay Murray, here in the studio. A little later on, Sid Lowe and Stuart Robson will be joining us because we're going to look back on that game once again between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich in the Champions League. But let's start in the Europa League, where Bayer Leverkusen have done it again. In this tie, they went 2-0 down to Roma, but they struck back to level things out in the late stages through a Mancini-owned goal and then a Stanisic strike in the 97th minute. They are through to the final and they are still unbeaten. In fact, when it comes to longest unbeaten runs in Europe, they are third of all time. But in terms of when European competition has been introduced, well, they topped that because they have now leapfrogged Benfica's record of 48 with this, their 49th unbeaten match this season. Frank Leboeuf is with us. We are seeing the spectacular now, Frank, and it almost isn't a surprise anymore with Leverkusen.
No, it's not. And it's crazy because, well, you have to congratulate Roma because I never thought it would be such a difficult game for Leverkusen. They had some chances, but Zvilar was absolutely outstanding. And like Neuer yesterday, he made a huge mistake at 2-0. But you have the feeling that at some point they're going to come back. They're not rushing for anything. They know exactly what they have to do. And they do it. They do it. Slowly but surely, they attack, they pause. They go backwards, they come back, and then they smash you. That was crazy. I mean, the second goal from Stanisic, at some point I was getting crazy. So you don't want to keep on going on this amazing unbeaten run. Why don't you go for it? Why don't you go for it? It was like an answer to me, like, yeah, we have the time. Don't worry, we're going to do it. And they did it. I mean, it's amazing. I love the attitude of Xabi Alonso on the touchline. I love the attitude of the players. They were sure on doing the good job and knowing exactly when they had to do it. Amazing.
It's like they know at this point, Shaka, that it's just going to happen.
And that's the thing. And I think Frank is right to kind of draw the parallel between Svila and Manuel Neuer in yesterday's game, because so much about Leverkusen, we can say, or replicate in talking about Real Madrid, that at some point, even you, despite your a goal down, your two down going into the later stages of the game, you believe you're coming back in much the same way that we spoke about Real Madrid 24 hours ago. At some point, the opposition also knows that you have it in you and they start to believe that you're coming back. Huge mistake for the own goal to start with, but then I thought, you've seen from Leverkusen time and time again. Late stages, they're down a goal. There is no sense of panic about their football. So while the opposition is thinking, let's sit deep, let's soak up a little bit of pressure, they're the ones who are almost panicking defensively. The dynamic was a little bit different this time around because Roma needed a goal. At 2-1, Leverkusen are going through. So it wasn't the usual, let's sit deep, last minutes of the game that you see sitting in league fixtures, and we've seen before now with Leverkusen. Roma had to be on the front foot. Roma had to commit players forward, and that just allowed Leverkusen to continue with this outstanding counter-attacking game that we see from them all season long. And then again, what was it, 95th minute? 97th minute. I mean, calmest man on the park, in control, little drop of the shoulder, little cut inside. When everybody else just seems to be panicking, Leverkusen are the ones who are coolest.
But Stevie, it's crazy because as Shaka just said, they would have been through anyway, but it's almost as if this unbeaten run to them is just as important as everything else, is achieving that silverware as well this season.
Do you know, we kind of become blasé to the way that Alonso talks sometimes. And he has that boring wobble that keeps trotting out called the process. And we'll go, oh, the process, yeah, great. Aye. But that's what it is. You don't see any Leverkusen players going rogue. You don't see anybody trying to do something out the ordinary because time's running out and it calls for desperate measures. We don't see anything other than the process, the way they pass it around. If they have to go back, even though they're behind, they go back. So the players 100% have bought into this process that Alonso keeps talking about. And the focus is on the process, nothing else. They're not thinking, oh, there's only 6 minutes to go, we need to get the ball in the box. They're thinking about, what do we do? What we've been told to do? This is passing and moving. It's the triangles. You know, it's the third man running. It's all those things that they've done since Alonso's got there. And they all believe in the process. They all stick to it. And because they stick to it, now they expect it to work. And so far it has.
It's 11 game-tying or winning goals past late stoppages this season that we've seen from Leverkusen, and it adds to their 49-game unbeaten run. There you can see it. 11 game-tying or go-ahead goals in second-half stoppage time in all competitions. I mean, even to stay alert to that final moment, Frank, is really something to be said about that.
I mean, it's crazy because it comes back to what we all said just now. It's the calm that they show and the non-urgency that they show to the world. Like, at some point, we're going to do it. I mean, it's we are talking about Bayer Leverkusen, who never won the Bundesliga before, who is not so-called a big club. But the players that Xabi Alonso picked at the last season, and Xhaka is the best example for me, is the fact that they mature. They know exactly what to do. He was spot on choosing the player that he needed in every area of the field. And Stanisic, come on, well, does his job. Is he like he knows what he has to do? Like, technically, he's perfectly aware of what he has to do, and they cope with all situation. I love the spirit. I love the maturity of the players. And I want to see. I really want to see next season, because at some point they're going to lose a game, and I want to see what's going to happen after. But I won't be surprised that it doesn't affect them. I would love to see that, but I think it's possible because they don't rush to anything, and losing one game doesn't seem to be a problem for them.
Yeah, only four games left and two of them are finals. That's the season that Xabi Alonso's side are having. So the final is set. It's Bayer Leverkusen against Atalanta, who are in their first ever European final. That will take place in Dublin on the 22nd of May.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectra e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles an hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com.
The morning after, the night before, reaction in the Spanish newspapers. Marca going with Joselu, you beauty. Diario AS saying this is the miracle that leads us to Wembley. As for the Catalan press, epic and controversial, say Mundo Deportivo. Into the final with controversy, say Sport. Obviously, it was a controversial ending to the game. Here's what Bayern Munich manager Thomas Tuchel had to say after it. He said it's very difficult to accept. Of course we'll accept it, but it's a Champions League semi-final. It's not the moment for excuses, but it's also really not the moment for two huge violations of the rules and then excuses afterwards. It's definitely not the moment. Everything has a limit. We all have to suffer and play error-free. Well, then the referees also have to perform at that level. It doesn't help if you excuse yourself afterwards. You're on the pitch and therefore you're the best that's out there. And we also expect that you perform until the very end. If you can't deliver that, then an excuse does not help the moment. Let's also get word from Matthijs de Ligt speaking afterwards as well.
I don't know if it's offside. I don't know. The only thing that I know is that I think we make rules in the football. And especially now with the VAR, a lot of times, if it's not clear offside, you keep playing. And if you're in the last minute of a semi-final match between Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, and you are not clear, you cannot put the flag up. And you cannot whistle. Maybe you can put the flag, but you still keep playing. And this is, for me, something that is, I have to be honest, it doesn't look good, let's say this way, for the referees. But in the end, we lost. It's not the referee's fault. In the end, we lost. Madrid win, so they deserved it. And, extremely disappointing.
Let's open up the conversation and welcome more people in. Frank Leboeuf with us, Sid Lowe and Stuart Robson as well. Frank, let me start with you. The stage is yours. We know you love a refereeing mistake. What have you got to say here?
It's simply, nothing to do with Madrid. I mean, what Madrid showed yesterday and the reaction that they had, I mean, that was absolutely fantastic. Again, the fairy tale of the spirit of Real Madrid carries on, but from Bayern's side, it's a robbery. I mean, of course you cannot accept apologies. It's crazy. How can you put the flag on and how can you whistle? Why don't you whistle on Rudiger, supposedly offside, you know, on the second goal? Why do you do on that side? Well, it's a different linesman, but that's absolutely crazy. There's no offside, of course. So let the game play on. You sometimes wait 30 seconds to put the flag on for an offside, and suddenly you decide to go the other way and do it almost before anything happens. That's a semi-final of the Champions League. I think about the players more than the fans or the club. The players who never played a Champions League final would have a chance to play a Champions League final, and because of a referee mistake, they can't do it. Well, maybe they would have to go to extra time and lose against Madrid, but let's say they would have a chance to play the semi-final. I thought when I played the World Cup final that if I lost because of a referee mistake, I would be so bitter about that I could be able to chase the referee again if I would have seen it in my life again. So the consequences of what happened yesterday for the Bayern players are awful, really awful.
Stuart Robson, a man of reason. Referee and team made a mistake here. It's fair to say that, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the linesman put his flag up too early. That's an obvious mistake. And the referee blew the whistle too early. So they couldn't go to VAR because the whistle had already been blown. But I'm not so sure that Bayern would have scored in that situation because the goalkeeper didn't dive. The whistle went long before De Ligt got his shot in, which was wrong. But I'm not sure they would have scored from the situation. So I don't think they were absolutely robbed. It was just poor refereeing and a poor judgment by the assistant referee to put his flag up so quickly. That shouldn't have happened.
See, it was going to be all right anyway, Frank. Who's to say they would have scored?
Sorry? Oh, well, you know, I think at the end of the day, Real Madrid deserved to go through. I love the way they reacted. I love the spirit of it. And if Bayern did what they had to do, because they played well. I was pretty much surprised. But the spirit, the atmosphere, I mean, that was crazy. And it's nice to see, and I think it's nice to get something out of it. When you give so much into the field, like you feel the passion and the love of it, I was happy to see that.
Sid, if Marca, we just saw their front page, went with Hosselu, you beauty. Obviously, up in the Catalan press, we saw the word controversy, controversial. What has been the reaction in Spain to this specific moment in the game?
Well, you've kind of framed it perfectly there, Kay, because, of course, as you know, in Spain, the reaction always depends on which side of the divide you're on. And there's always the weight that you give to this always depends on your starting point. Now, it is true that this has been discussed a lot in Spain. It's been talked about. And I think, in a way, it's a really kind of clear case, isn't it? Because this isn't a case of a referee interpreting something wrong. It isn't a case of a referee taking a decision with a penalty, say, that can go one way or the other. It's not the case of a really tight offside. It's referees getting effectively the rules of engagement wrong, the protocol wrong, the processes that they're supposed to follow wrong, and that idea that the linesman's flag goes up too quickly, the referee's whistle goes too quickly. If you have VAR, and obviously let's not get into my opinions on VAR, if you have VAR and that changes the way in which you referee, then this shouldn't happen. Because part of the process of this now is, okay, you've got that safety net, so you allow that safety net to help you make this decision, so you don't make it in a way that basically gives you no way back. And that's the fundamental point. I'd also quite like to pick up on what Frank said, and I think it's really important, actually. We often sit in judgment of players when they react badly. We often say, you know, a player has gone in the face of the referee, or he's complained after the game, and isn't it terrible? And I think Frank's just made a really, really key point. The amount that is on the line for players, the pressure that they are under, everything that these kind of decisions can cost them, whether it's right or not to complain about them. And obviously, we would prefer players to be able to accept it. I personally think it's amazing that players don't lose their heads more often, given how much is on the line and given what a decision like this can mean for them. Again, let's go back into it. That doesn't necessarily mean that Bayern would have gone through. It doesn't even necessarily mean that they would have scored this. But I'm often surprised, actually, how calm players manage to be, given how much there is at stake for them.
Yeah, it's obviously tough when you get those calls go against you to keep your cool, Shaka.
Absolutely. And while, yes, I agree with everything that everybody just said, and clearly Real Madrid players stopped, and that had an effect on whether De Ligt got a shot off, whether it found the back of the net, Lunin didn't dive. If you're Bayern Munich, you want to see that play out. You want to see that play come to an end. You do not want the referee making the decision as to yes, you would have scored, or no, you would not have scored, which in effect is what the referee did. He took that option away from Bayern Munich. Now, I totally understand that play was a long way from finish. It couldn't go back. It couldn't be reviewed. But you don't want to see referees make mistakes, that kind of mistake, at this kind of the game. And from a player's perspective, it's easier to accept in league games. And we saw a similar situation with Real Madrid a few weeks ago in a league game. As tough as it was to accept in the moment, a league is judged over somewhere between 30 and 40 games, depending on where you play. And you feel that some of these small decisions, even with VAR, can't come out in the wash. In a Champions League semi-final, there's no coming back from this. There's no, well, next game, we might get a decision in our favour. And it becomes all the more difficult to accept. In a very difficult season for Bayern Munich, all of a sudden, what should be or could have been defining in terms of this campaign has been taken, or that moment has been taken away from you unfairly. It was a referee mistake that should not have happened.
Robbo, if we do get back to the game, though, you were on the World Feed commentary for this game. You obviously called both teams for us here at ESPN. What was your overall reaction to what you saw yesterday?
Well, I thought Real Madrid were the better side, and it was a goal out of the blue a little bit in the second half from Bayern Munich. A great bit of play by Davies. But going back to the management of the game in the later stages, when Bayern were 1-0 up and there was about 10 minutes to go, I thought that Thomas Tuchel's decision-making and substitutions were horrendous. And I'm doing the commentary and I'm saying, Kim's come on for Sané. Sané didn't play well. They needed Sané to play well. He didn't play well. But when there's 6 minutes to go, are you telling me that Harry Kane couldn't play on for another 6 minutes? And what about if Real Madrid did equalise? You know, there was all these problems. Players going down trying to waste time, going down with cramp. But at one point, with 5 minutes to go or 4 minutes to go, they were playing with 10 men because Pavlovic was down the end of the field getting some treatment. They had to make a decision. Do we get Goretzka on, who was left out the side? But there were too many poor decisions, I thought, by Thomas Tuchel. He put Kim on, I assume, to be a third centre-half. He put Mazraoui out to the other side. I can understand that, to maybe defend Kimmich a little bit. But he didn't put Davies back to a left wing-back. He put him still at left wing, and Kim had to play as a narrow left-back. There were so many mistakes that I thought Thomas Tuchel made in that last 10 minutes, and the way that Bayern tried to manage it, they deserve to get beaten in that last 10 minutes.
Robbo, obviously Kane, it's come out afterwards, did say he had a back problem, and that's why he was subbed out.
6 minutes to go. 6 minutes to go, and you're still, he was still holding up the play. He was still switching the play. This is, you've got 6 minutes to play from you being in the Champions League final. And he, either the player said to Thomas Tuchel, we want to come off, which I wouldn't say was the case, or Thomas Tuchel decided to make those decisions. And I think Harry Kane tried to back his manager up so he didn't get too much stick. I thought there were some really poor decisions by Thomas Tuchel and maybe some poor decisions by the players to try and time waste and not focus on the game. At 1-0, they had a great opportunity. Muller picked up the ball, won the ball. They had a 4-1. And if they'd been focusing on the football rather than doing other things, they could have gone and got the second goal. Instead, the pass by Muller wasn't good enough. The next pass wasn't good enough. And suddenly Modric got back and made a challenge. That last 10 minutes was really poor from Bayern Munich.
And of course, Sid, it was Real Madrid at the Santiago Bernabeu on a Champions League night. And even the banner ahead of the game said, Real Madrid never give in. It just feels almost inevitable with them.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's another reason why, and to pick up where Robbo left off, why it seems like a strange decision to try and resist Real Madrid. Because if all you've got is resistance, the chances are that resistance will get broken. You know, if you're not offering anything else, if you're not going to give yourself the chance to find a way through, then you're probably going to get broken because the momentum will build, because the game will go on, because they will keep coming at you, because there will be a mistake at some point. Now, it's not to say it's impossible to hang on. Of course, it's not. Occasionally, it will happen. But if you invite Madrid to keep going at you, then it feels like the final process is almost inevitable. Now, it's true that Bayern had a couple of chances to have won it. That break that Robert was talking about there, the header against the bar, the Harry Kane shot into the side netting. There were a few moments, and actually, funny enough, Neuer's mistake in the goal is preceded by another mistake, in my opinion. That throw that he does out to the left wing is just baffling in my mind. I see no reason to do that at that stage of the game. But as you say, Madrid's momentum built and built and built, and they eventually got there, and it did feel a little bit inevitable, albeit it's easy to say that after the event, isn't it? But once that momentum builds, you can't assume that you're going to be able to withstand it.
We did hear... Go on.
Hold on a second. So, I don't get this. I don't get the thing, Robbo, that you're really harsh with Harry Kane. There's 6 minutes to go, and you, as they stand, you're in the Champions League final. And you've got a guy whose back's done. So you're going to take a chance on leaving him on the field, which means that if he can't get around the field, you're a man down before you start. That doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. With 6 minutes
to go... Did he look as though he couldn't get round the field? He kept on holding up the play. He was the one player that could hold up the play and switch the play. He looked tired, but so did several other players.
The chance he had on his left peg that hit the side... The chance he had on his left peg that hit side netting, it was like he was swinging a two-ton weight on his left side. I mean, Harry Kane doesn't hit the side net.
It doesn't matter whether he was injured or he could play in the Champions League final. Now, whether he was fit enough, he hasn't.
Forget the name.
Because they lost.
Forget the name.
He had to come off.
6 minutes to go. What do? You take a guy off whose back's done, or do I take a chance and keep him on and we lose a goal because we're down half a man, maybe, if you want to put it that way? And then he's no good to you in extra time anyway. You know, listen, at the end of the day, Manuel Neuer has cost this team. We can talk about the referees, the linesman's decision and the referee's decision and everyone else, but Manuel Neuer is the reason that Bayern Munich are not in the Champions League final. That's the bottom line.
Let's get to Neuer in a minute. I want to know what Frank thinks of the Harry Kane situation that the guys are arguing over here. Frank.
Well, you know, I think he could have stayed, but I also understand what Stevie is saying. But I think What I regret is that Tuchel decided to get rid of all the offensive options and brought, you know, defenders to secure and also to gain some time, you know, with the substitutions. But as Robbo said, you know, if Real Madrid scored a goal, you know, they did, you have no options to react. And it's only De Ligt who had the chance to score if the referee wouldn't have whistled before. So I've seen that with many, many coaches nowadays who want to secure with, instead of finishing the job, they try to to say, OK, one goal, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, now we drop and we park the bus. That, I mean, you always open a door of somebody who can, which can happen. And especially as we said, you know, Real Madrid was having options or chances to score. So I'm not sure Kane should have gone out, but, you know, and maybe it's an excuse from Tuchel to explain why they did it. But and I'm not sure Kane staying on the field would have helped Bayern to secure the score.
I as far as Kane goes, and listen, if his back is hitting him and he can't continue, okay, we will have to accept that as an excuse. But from my perspective, there was nothing I saw in his performance that suggested that he was that hurt that he couldn't carry on, at least to see the game out. And while I can sympathise with the midfield three, the other three substitutions, I think the one thing that Harry Kane gives to Bayern Munich, and that causes Real Madrid a lot of problems, or certainly caused on the night, is his playing in the half spaces, where Rudiger isn't quite sure where to push up and isn't able to use his physicality as he has. And Choupo-Moting is not that player. So while you bring on Choupo-Moting to maybe lead the line and he's the yellow ball, he's not the one that kind of drags Real Madrid's centre-backs a little bit out of position. Maybe Thomas Muller can, but Thomas Muller isn't the player that he once was, and defending a lead, he's not. That his first option isn't to play in that half space between the midfield and the defence. So it for me, I thought the substitution of Harry Kane took a lot away from Bayern Munich in terms of at least keeping the ball in that half of the park when they got it.
Can somebody explain to me why they took Harry Kane off if he wasn't injured? Or he wasn't able to carry on? Because I don't think there's one of us, in all honesty, if Harry Kane's not hurt or not able to continue, there's not one of us would take Harry Kane off, and I've got to think that Tuchel's in the same boat. Why would you take Harry Kane off if he's not injured? Or he's not capable of carrying on? It makes no sense to take him off. For what? He has to be injured. Somebody explain why Thomas Tuchel would take Harry Kane off if he wasn't injured.
No idea, but he didn't look as though he was struggling. He still had two or three shots. He still didn't look as though he was struggling. We saw it with Pep Guardiola said it about Erling Haaland in the game against Real Madrid when he took him off in extra time. And then they say, oh, because Erling Haaland's injured. Well, he only played a week and a half later. He was OK to play on.
Well, he never played the next game, though.
Erling Haaland said to the coach, I don't want to play anymore. I'm struggling. I don't think Harry Kane ever looked across to the bench, because I was doing the commentary, I was there. He never looked across to the bench once and said, I can't carry on. He was surprised when he was taken off, let me tell you that.
All right, Shaka, let me get to Manuel Neuer. What happened to him on that first Madrid goal?
That's the fragility of the position, I guess. One of the best that the world has seen, having an outstanding game. And while, yes, he has to shoulder a huge majority of the blame for Bayern Munich's exit, the fact that they're still in this, that they're still going through up to this point, is also down to Manuel Neuer. And then this. I mean, that is as simple, as basic, as routine a save as any goalkeeper will make, let alone for somebody who has stood at the top of the position for as long as he has. I just didn't expect it. I don't think anybody expected it. And again, it only kind of shows the frailties of being a goalkeeper in today's game.
OK, let's get word from Carlo Ancelotti after this game, because he had some high praise from his squad. He said, they have an incredible mentality. I'm really grateful because they work really hard and it's a fantastic atmosphere. They are very humble, really generous. I think it is the best squad I have had in my career. Now, that is some praise from Carlo Ancelotti. When you think of the squads, even the Real Madrid squads that he's had, the Milan squads, all the top teams that he's managed, that is some praise, Sid Lowe.
Yeah, it is. And I think, of course, the context to it is exactly the way that, he frames it. This isn't just about saying this is the best squad in terms of the players, because, of course, he would have worked with players who would walk into this Real Madrid team, even though this is a very good Real Madrid team. He's worked with some of the best footballers in the world. He's talked about basically having worked with all of them except for Totti and Messi. They're the two players that he would have really liked to have done and hasn't. But it's not really about that. It's about him framing it in those terms, that this is a good squad to work with. This is a squad where you don't have players confronting you. This is a squad where you don't have really significant fault lines within it, where you don't have a problem of egos, where you don't have a problem of players not getting on with each other. And in that sense, it's relatively easy to work with. Now, of course, one of the reasons it's easy to work with is because Ancelotti is so good at that side of the game. But it's been easier for him than it has at other places. In the build-up to this game, he was talking about his role at Bayern Munich and why that didn't last very long and why they sacked him quite early into his second season. And of course, one of the problems with them was that some of the changes he was trying to do were difficult with some of the dressing room heavyweights. And he felt, and he said this in the preview to the game, that he didn't get the support from Bayern Munich that he needed to be able to do his work well. Now, at Real Madrid, he's been able to manage that dressing room. So I think that's the key to what he's saying here, is that these are really good footballers. Obviously, they are really good footballers. But on top of that, this isn't a group that causes you the kind of problems that sometimes comes with managing superstars.
And what's going to happen when Mbappe comes next season then, Sid?
Well, that's the question everyone's asking. Obviously, in fairness, I think most people are asking this about the positions of the players on the pitch. So we saw it in this game, and we've seen it quite a bit this season, that both Vinicius and Rodrigo would rather play off the left-hand side. Yes, they can come in and be a little bit narrow at times, and Vinicius has kind of evolved his game a little bit to play a bit more inside rather than out on the left wing. But that's their preferred position, and that is Mbappe's preferred position. So unless you massively overload the left side, which of course they could do, I suppose, in theory, and have an asymmetrical lineup, they do need to find a solution to that. And I think that's been the way it's framed, in terms of putting the players on the pitch in the right positions, rather than in terms of that kind of dressing room harmony and whether or not there might be fault lines that open up. That, I think, is a much longer term question to see whether Mbappe is at all problematic in that sense. But I think fundamentally the question is, which position do you put those players in?
That's the interesting one, isn't it, Sid? And I just wonder what the talk is right now, because it felt when Mbappe first didn't come to Madrid, when it was expected that he would, it felt like there was this real big need for him to be there. Does it feel like it's not talked about as much now because we're seeing this version of Vinny? Or is it just because they think he's coming anyway and it's all going to happen?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think the answer is a little bit of both of those things. It's not really a kind of... It doesn't have that weight, that question, partly because there is just the assumption that he just does come now. As you say as well, the fact that Vinicius has played really well, maybe there isn't the urgency to bring him, which is why, as I say, the question mark really is about how you fit these pieces together. You know, not that there's any doubt about whether you have them, not that there's any doubt that anyone is going to start and that someone else is going to have to sit on the bench. They will both start. I think a couple of years ago, you might have thought, you know what, if you had to let Vinicius go to bring Mbappe in, perhaps you do it. I don't think anyone would do that now. Which isn't to say anyone would say, hey, don't bring me Mbappe. Then they absolutely do want him. But there is a sense now that what you have to do is find a way of them both playing. I think as well, it's worth remembering that this is the way it feels right now in May. If you go back to August or September, I think there was a belief that Real Madrid was short up front. Because, of course, Karim Benzema went a year earlier than expected. Harry Kane was the player that Carlo Ancelotti had identified as someone who could come in now and play up front and be a really good forward that would link those wide players into the game as well as score goals himself. And they didn't go for Kane, partly, of course, because they knew that Endrick was coming and they knew that Mbappe would probably come. And so then what you do is you go and buy Joselu on loan, 1.5 million euros loan fee from second division Espanyol to give you the backup there. But you create a new forward line. And you create a new forward line with Bellingham as a sort of false nine, with Vinicius playing on the left, but sometimes going inside, with Rodrigo going to the right-hand side, but also coming inside at times and trying to find a way of making it work. And that was then. And at that point, I think a lot of people would have thought, I'm not sure this really works. Madrid do need that striker. They could really do with Mbappe now. Now, fast forward to where we are now, 9 months on, and obviously it doesn't look quite so urgent, but that's not to say, as I say, and this is really important, that is not to say that anyone thinks, oh, don't bring him. In fact, the opposite is true. Everyone's now looking at this Real Madrid team and thinking, they're good already. Imagine how good they're going to be when Mbappe turns up as well.
Frightening. So obviously Sid offered up the context there in which Ancelotti was speaking and the fact that it's the squad harmony and saying that, yeah, you know, some of his former team players may have walked into this Real Madrid side right now. But let's have some fun anyway, shall we? Because we went back to take a look at the 2005 starting 11 for Milan under Carlo Ancelotti. And Stevie is absolutely a Milanista in this sense of the words right now. You were like, no way is any Real Madrid player getting in there. He said maybe Courtois to begin with, right?
Right. I mean, the thing is, over time you do sort of forget. But then when you go and look at it on paper, my goodness, look at this. Look at, for the start, look at the back four. Maldini, Nesta, Stalin, Cafu. I mean, seriously. Pirlo, Seedorf, Kaká, Gattuso. Now, Gattuso you need because of what he does on the field. And then up front, Shevchenko and Crespo. I mean, really? Dida for Courtois. Maybe, maybe Modric or Kroos for Gattuso. That's about it, isn't it?
You see,
I mean, where would you play Vinny? Do you take Crespo out and play Vinny? I'm not so sure. Because with what they have in the middle of the park, it's a different type of game as well. You know, is he going to get that amount of time to be running at people all the time? Well, you got Crespo and Shevchenko getting played in by Kaká coming late, a la Bellingham. You got Seedorf picking people out, dropping balls in. You got Pirlo picking people out for fun. I mean, that team is absolutely scary.
How did that game end?
It just shows you why we play the game. There's a reason why we don't play the game on paper. There's a reason why you have to step on the field, because you never know. That was an anomaly. What happened with Liverpool that game? That team is absolutely sensational.
I mean, there are players of a generation all over that park. And to Stevie's point, absolutely, yes, you have Courtois over Dida. But let's be honest, Real Madrid have played most of this season without Courtois. You'd have Dida over Lunin. So it's so difficult to make these comparisons for any number of reasons. But goodness me, you look at that. What were we? So just short of 20 years on? In 20 years' time, how many of those players that are playing for Real Madrid now will invoke the kind of sentiment that Milan team does presently? I think four, maybe five. I'm not sure the nine that we're kind of pointing to now.
Robbo, do you care to wade in on this Milan versus Madrid?
I mean, in terms of individuals, the Milan side is much better. It's got much better players. But what I think Ancelotti's talking about is the spirit, the squad. Remember, it's not just Courtois that's been out. It's been Eder Militao that's been out for most of the season. Alaba's, they were the two the first picks at centre-half. So the players that have come in, Rudiger and Nacho or Tchouaméni going back in there at times, they've done a fantastic job. When they need somebody to come on the field, they took Kroos off yesterday and Modric came on and started to dictate the play. They made good decisions. You know, Vinny Jr., who didn't have his best first half, but in the second half, he went out to the left wing and said, I'm going to take on Kimmich, and he changed the game. So they've got players that have got good football understanding. They seem to have a good team spirit, and they've got that belief that they can win games even when they're not playing well. And that's why I think he calls them one of the best squads he's worked with.
And of course, Real Madrid, Sid, have a huge belief when it comes to finals. Does it feel inevitable here, or will it go the Dortmund way of expecting the unexpected from this side?
No, I mean, look, obviously, as Stevie just said, you've got to go on the pitch and you've got to play. But this feels... Yeah, at this point, this feels entirely inevitable. Bear in mind that Real Madrid, and Stevie may well like this one, Real Madrid haven't lost a Champions League final or a European Cup final since 1981. Every final they've been in since then, they've won. Even when there's been moments when it looks like they won't, they do. And so, yeah, this feels entirely inevitable. And you know, it's football, so who knows? But right now, this Real Madrid team looks for this final at least, almost impossible to beat them. And you know, going back, by the way, to that comparison, and we talk about that idea of if we look back in 20 years' time. Well, I think if we look back in 20 years' time, let's see what level Vinicius gets to, because this is a guy who might win a Ballon d'Or. Let's see what level we look back on Toni Kroos and Luka Modric as, because I think that we may well look back on them and think, actually, you know what? They're of the level of Pirlo and of Kaká in terms of what they've achieved and in terms of what they've done. But yes, it is true. I think if you go individually, I would say it's probably not too generous to say four or five Real Madrid players getting that Milan side.
Right, well, we are looking forward to that final between Borussia Dortmund and Real Madrid, and there's a lot more talk about all of it, of course, across our network and on our podcast. Sid, thanks so much for being with us. Make sure to check out the latest Gab and Jewel show for a lot more reaction to that Champions League game between Bayern and Real Madrid. And more La Liga action coming up this weekend. Barcelona wrapping it all up against Real Sociedad on Monday, but it's Granada against Real Madrid. Let's see if their heads are in that game on Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern. Also on Sunday, we've got Atleti taking on Celta.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevian Shepherd-Pies, Xhaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Here's a look at the Premier League table. Chelsea seventh, and those back-to-back wins over Spurs and then West Ham have brought the good times back to Chelsea. And what we didn't know is that this was all part of the plan. Here's Todd Bowley to explain.
We've seen, you know, the last 2.5 games at least, the second half of Aston Villa and Tottenham and West Ham, where we played just beautiful football. It was so fluid. It was exactly the way we drew it up, you know, where we come out of the back, you know, build up and then move up the pitch, very organized. And, you know, the number of shots we had on goal over those 2.5 games, you could really start to see what we were working on coming together. And so our goal is obviously to win. And you know, I think the commentary has changed, you know, over the last 2.5 games. I've never seen anything change so quickly, you know, than kind of perspectives on how a team does or how a team is doing.
Frank and Stuart are with us. It was all part of the plan. Stevie, why are you shaking your head?
Honestly. 2.5 games. It was exact. And I thought, there's no way he's going to outdo himself with that, and he did. That's exactly how we drew it up. I mean, come on. Give yourself a shake. How was about you do it? How was about, supposedly, when you start doing what you drew up, you can do it before the season's done, when you've got nothing on the line, you've got nothing to play for. The teams you're playing against have got nothing to play for, but all of a sudden you think you're Brazil. I mean, come on, give us a break.
Shaka, even you were shocked.
Yeah, I've been saying for some time, Todd Bowley just needs to keep quiet. And in all honesty, I thought he was doing a really good job. Because he just has this knack of putting his foot in his mouth when Chelsea simply do not need it. So stay out of the limelight, let football, people talk football. Listen, I get it. You go to a conference. This is a little bit of a soundbite, but it does not help. It does not help when you are trying to sell that, listen, we spent £1 billion. We've sacked, what, 3 managers over the last 18 months. All so we could smash West Ham. It's coming together nicely. That was the plan all along. I mean, it just sets Chelsea up for more ridicule. If this is how you drew it up, let it play out and just stay in the shadows. Say nothing about it. Let it play out. Nobody needs this. Oh,
Frank, you're a former Chelsea guy. Can you back him?
You know, I want to have some sympathy for him, but it's embarrassing. When I was listening and I saw all our faces, our 4 faces, and we can add UK, all having a, you know, a smile in our face because our faces, because, I mean, we cannot believe that. Nobody's going to believe that. We know, if you know football, we saw Chelsea struggling for 2 years, and the chairman is saying that after 2.5 games, not 3, 2.5 games, everything is erased, that everything is forgotten and everything is perfect in a perfect world. Of course not. It will take so much more time to forget what happened and to make sure that the team can be back to his best and meaning for Chelsea trying to win the Premier League. They're so far away from Manchester City, from Liverpool, from Arsenal. And I feel sad when I say that because I know Chelsea. I played for Chelsea and I've seen what happened after I left Chelsea when the club has been so successful, but being so consistent. I think Todd Boehly forgot that consistency is the key and not 2.5 games. That's not enough. I don't buy it.
2.5 is the magic number, Robbo.
I think he forgot the game against Arsenal when they lost 5-0, I think it was, and they were totally outplayed. And Stevie is absolutely right. I don't always agree with Stevie, as you found out earlier on in the show. But when there's nothing to play for, I've seen so many teams do that where, you know, they can't win a cup, they can't get higher up the league, and then they start the last 7 games of the season, they play really well, and everyone says, oh, actually, they're getting better. And next season might be the season, but they go back to the same old inconsistency next year. So all the important games, all the big games which Chelsea needs to play well in, they haven't done it so far, and it's been a real struggle for them.
Sorry, Mr. Bowley, it seems unanimous on the panel tonight.
It seems.
That was not the conversation to be having. There's obviously a lot of chat about the Premier League on our YouTube channel. Be sure to always stay up to date with all of it. Updated daily with new content. Click subscribe while you are there.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Olympiacos meet Fiorentina in the Conference League final this year, May 29th. Can they become the first Greek side to win a major UEFA club trophy? And can they make it into Shaka's power rankings?
Ah, yes, they have, as they are on the cusp of winning major silverware themselves. Not a lot of change, big European week, and all of a sudden the likes of Dortmund surprise everybody, though PSG do drop, Bayern are out, they're not even top of their domestic table, PSG managed to hold on. Other than that, it's the usual suspects, including Atalanta and Olympiacos. Last week, Stevie had no complaints whatsoever.
How are we doing today?
I only have one. I mean, let's be honest, PSG have bottled it again.
They're the champions, they
They do not deserve to be in the top 10 for completely bottling it for the how many time. So I don't have anybody that I could put in there.
PSG keep breaking hearts, but fact remains, they're still top of their domestic league. They still got the Champions League semi-final. So they're in.
Robbo, you all right with it?
I'm always all right with Shaka's power rankings. I know he does so much work, the effort that goes into it. You know,
I was working on it all week in Grenada, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So I always agree with Shaka. He's an expert on those power rankings.
Yeah, Frank Stevie was worried that Shaka's holiday in Grenada would have been overshadowed by the pressure of putting these power rankings together today.
Did you manage to enjoy yourself?
I know. I mean, when you see the picture of James Bond behind you, you know, Kay, between you and Stevie, you know, you cannot wonder if the guy is not 100% ready, even on holidays, to give the best power ranking, you know? I'm not surprised. He punished Paris Saint-Germain a little bit. No, they lost three spots, I think, three positions. But yeah, I would have loved to see Atalanta and maybe even Olympiacos before or above Paris Saint-Germain, because they are in the final and Paris Saint-Germain is not anymore. But I understand the fact that Paris Saint-Germain won the Ligue 1, that is still there, whatever. But no doubt, Mr. Shaka Hislop, Mr. James Bond Shaka Hislop, you know, you have all my, you know, my respect.
I stay ready. That's what it is. I'm always ready.
You're gonna roll with the power ranking.
All I need is Todd Bowley now to come in and say, oh, this.
Two and a half
power rankings have been great.
Yeah, why Chelsea is not there? Why Chelsea is not the power ranking? Come on.
Next week.
You understand nothing.
Thanks so much for being with us. We'll speak to you again soon.
Bye-bye. Take care, guys.
Yep, we're letting Frank go early, but Stuart Robson is staying behind to your question.
Double shift off, Stuart.
Shaka and Stevie on the latest Extra Time. Go and check it out over on our YouTube channel. All right, that is all we've got time for on the main edition of the show, this major European
night.
Show. Stick around, Extra Time.
Yeah, major. The seventh best team in the league. Every league.
God.
Shaka, do you think your back can hold out for 6 minutes to go and get the extra time question?
Well, let me sprint over here for a minute.
I tell you what, you let Sid off big time with the VAR. Sid was on here, 10 days ago?
Did you just fall?
No, I was doing my high knee lifts.
Yeah, right.
Sid was on here. I don't know whether you saw this, Robbo. Sid was on here 10 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
That away from saying we should go back to the
it's
way
it was. It's a waste of time,
I mean, right?
In short.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. Honestly.
It's a waste of time.
And this incident is perfect for somebody like Sid. If he wants this to see this happening every week, then let's go back to what it used to be, because that's exactly what used to happen. A linesman would have a guess. And if he wasn't sure, you knew he'd put his flag up.
As it did for Real Madrid's second goal, by the way.
Aye. I mean, it's a complete gamble. So I can't believe you let him off.
You could have said something too.
You're in charge.
He started.
You didn't have a go at Sid.
Exactly, Robbo.
Favouritism for Sid. That's what I say.
Yeah, I think so too. You know
what?
Them Spanish speakers sticking together.
Yeah.
Robbo, that's what it is.
Yeah.
When has Stevie ever spoke Spanish?
Stevie's in Lucas.
Hang on, I remember him singing in Spanish in Madrid at that karaoke bar. Oh, dear.
See, the thing is, I can sing in Spanish, I just can't speak the language.
Is it better than Dan's Spanish?
It seems to be.
Kay, let me tell you, if I hadn't put him on a plane back to Liverpool, there's no way that he would ever have got away from that Spanish airport, I'm telling you. He was all over the place.
He's not wrong.
I think you quite would have liked to stay in Madrid. That's why.
Oh, we're not fine.
All right. I would love to have seen that karaoke night, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
Got a set of pipes on him, Stevie. He can hold the tune.
I don't know why I find that so hard to believe. I really don't.
Been lubricated.
All right. Who's done the more impressive coaching job this season? Ancelotti or Alonso? Robbo.
Oh, man.
Oh, I think you have to say Alonso because when he took over, they were near the bottom of the table. And then this season, obviously, they had a good end to last season. And he's just made them better and better. And they're not a big club. You know, you expect Real Madrid to certainly challenge for the title. You expect them to challenge. He's done a fantastic job, Ancelotti. But Alonso has been the standout coach this season by a long, long way. Mm.
Can you remember, Shaka, a more likeable team in recent memory than Leverkusen?
No. For all the reasons, as Robbo just said, where they started when Xabi Alonso took over, to their performances, and as we were talking about on the show, even when they're down, never seem to panic. Their football is always fantastic. It's just such a fairy tale story. I mean, everything. Had Bayern Munich did exactly what Leverkusen have done, I don't think it would get the kind of response that Leverkusen has this season, for a number of reasons.
But how close is the Leicester story?
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout.
Because everyone on the planet, by the end, was wanting Leicester to win it.
We just love an underdog story, don't we?
Yeah. Well, you do.
I do.
Yes, we do. Everybody does. Everybody. Do. That's a good shout.
Now they're in a major European final. All right. Who has a better chance to win? Dortmund in the Champions League or Atalanta in the Europa League?
Atalanta yeah, have a better chance. On their day, Atalanta can be a very dangerous side. I've seen them playing in Serie A several times recently, and they've got some exciting players. They play a certain brand of football. They can cause teams problems, and if they have a good day, they can cause Leverkusen a real problem. But I still think Leverkusen will win.
You guys agree?
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I agree.
All right.
Yeah. I always agree with Robbo.
Oh, good Lord.
Even That's not true.
Even
not
though he
true.
Doesn't think so.
I think he just picks on you, Robbo.
He does. Hold on.
You want to say that to the Champions
HR.
League final?
HR.
I thought he was going to grab me through the camera and choke me.
I did see that.
Oh, God.
Do you remember that?
I do. I was sitting here listening to him and going, why is he having a go at me?
Tonight, you have a go at him, though.
And the thing is, what happened was somebody had upset him earlier, and that was the scapegoat.
No, that was our producer that upset me earlier.
It's because somebody warmed him up earlier on. I got the.
He took it out on you.
Took it out on me, but I can handle it, Robbo. It's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
All I'd say is that I had to use my phone to phone into the show, and it cost me about £150. That's what it was. That's what annoyed me. I'm tight.
I tell you, I'd have been raging as well.
Yeah.
You kept the argument and the debate going, so it was going even
longer.
All right, okay. If they'd won the treble unbeaten, would some of the players at Leverkusen want to stay for the Champions League next season if a European giant came calling this summer?
But there's been a lot of talk about Wirtz. Wirtz has said he's staying on.
At least for another season.
At least which is I think it's fantastic. I mean, if Florian Wirtz, of all players, as if he says he's staying on, I think everybody else does. I think he is the brightest talent in that squad. Go ahead.
Shaka, it comes down to Alonso saying he was going to stay. If Alonso had gone, lots of players might have followed suit and said, well, if the manager's not going to show loyalty and he wants to go somewhere else, maybe we'll go as well and the team's going to break up. And he's the reason we have been such a great side. So they're all going to work together for another year, hopefully, to have a go at the Champions League, and let's hope they do well in that. And I can see most of the players staying.
You'd have to think, though, that Alonso would have asked for some guarantees that nobody was allowed to go.
It was.
You'd have to think.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then as for the players...
They're on the contract. They don't have a choice.
Robbo, if you were to have a rowing rematch at this year's Champions League final...
No. All I would say is that I'm going to have Dan Thomas in my boat and not Gav Marcotti.
Seb.
Instead of Gab. Would you overcome Stevie's rowing power?
No, I'm not sure. I'd like to take Stevie on an indoor rower. I'm okay on an indoor rower. I'm not very happy on the water. Go on an indoor rower and we'll see who wins.
There's a bet. It was Craig and Kieran. That's right. Yeah, this could be a four-way rowing competition.
I'd love to see
just
it.
Just for anybody who never saw the rowing competition.
Please tell us.
The number in my boat was 54. The number on Robbo's boat, I actually couldn't see it because it was underwater. That may have something to do with the fact that Dan and I won. I'm not guaranteeing it. It's a bit like the Bayern Munich. We don't know whether they would have scored or not. It's a little similar.
I've never had to work so hard to wheel those horses through the water. Oh my goodness gracious.
So what you're saying is, Robbo is the Thomas Tuchel of rowing? Is that what it is?
I made some bad decisions. I needed to make an early substitution and get rid of my boat partner.
6 minutes. All you had to do was row for 6 minutes.
I thought we were going to roll the tape.
Mind you, I think I rowed twice the distance that Stevie did because I was going around in circles at one point.
All right.
Oh, God.
Okay. For Shaka, did you ever have a mistake in a big game like Neuer had with bobbling the caught ball, allowing Joselu the first goal?
Oh, God, I've had many. So one of the mistakes I've made that I regret, that I still think about to this day, is obviously nowhere near as big a game as this. West Ham playing, I've told this story. No, it wasn't West Ham. Pompey playing away to Charlton. Patrick Berger scores this goal. This is a volley from about 40 yards that would have been contender for goal of the season. Honestly, it was a thing of beauty. And then I go and let this bobbler in right at the last minute of the game. And I think we lost it 2-1. Honestly, I couldn't look Patrick in his eye for about 6 months. It was such a good goal. And I was so embarrassed. I couldn't. That haunted me. You make mistakes. You accept that. That just haunted me.
Is it one that you still think of now sometimes?
Yeah. Honestly, it does. And as I say, you make mistakes and you kind of, it happens, you know, and you move on. But that one, because of Patrick's goal, oh God, it was so embarrassing. It was bad. It was bad.
On that note, that's all we've got time for. You better go get training for the rowing.
Yeah, come on, Stevie. Come on, Stevie. Come on.
Well done.
Come on.
And Robbo, you too.
Robbo.
Yeah,
Robbo's getting
flashbacks. Don't worry, I've been out there this morning. Another session tomorrow morning.
Robbo was like,
Robbo's bailing out his boat. Robbo's bailing out.
That's all we've got. Let's go.
Oh, God.
All right. Thank you so much for sending in your wonderful questions tonight. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again.
I think we sprung a leak.